The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
It's almost Friday. I hate wind screens, number one. Number two, the hashtag gravy over everything did not start trending yesterday, and I'm disappointed in that.
You know, what is wrong with that right there? Gravy over everything, right? What is wrong with that hashtag? Why would it not start trending?
I don't know.
We all know gravy makes everything better, does it not, Bazinonians? Of course it does. Take the gravy and pour it all over the place. Doesn't matter. Slop it up. It's one of the reasons why don't serve flat plates for Thanksgiving. Did you ever see these flat plates? What are you doing? How in the world are we supposed to take the gravy and just pour it all over the stuffing and the mashed potatoes, of course, and the turkey?
It would have been much better.
With a flat plate.
It would have been much better as well as if your favorite group, Def Leppard, would have...
That is not my favorite group.
Would have done,
stop it.
Pour some gravy instead of sugar.
Not the gravy. Pour some gravy on me. No, don't do that. Definitely not that.
Gravy
over
everything.
Let me just say this. The hope is here, is it not, Bazinonians? Can you feel this?
The hope.
Did you walk out this morning? Did you feel
again?
Oh, here it is, baby. Right? It's starting to get kind of late, September. What is it today? The 19th. Talk like a pirate day. It is, matey.
Boy, did we
you
just
know what,
walk
honestly,
into that.
This is, you have to remember the way Talk Like a Pirate Day started on the Doug and Wolf Show. Remember this.
You were talking like a pirate before you knew there was Talk Like a Pirate
Day. I had no idea there was a Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Right.
Are you kidding me? Somebody looked it up. I think it was you, as a matter of fact.
No, you know better than that. It had to be Yoda.
Yoda looked it up. September 19th, Bazinonians, today is Talk Like a Pirate Day. What I love about this, too, if you're ever in trouble, I mean, stop and think about it. I don't know. Maybe your car breaks down and you're walking through a neighborhood maybe where maybe you shouldn't be walking through that neighborhood, right? I mean, I just actually experienced one of those neighborhoods at Baltimore where I think I witnessed three different illegal transactions that were going down on our way to the Poe House.
Wow.
I kid you not. Yeah. The Poe House and Museum is not a great part of town. It's not a great part. There's, of Baltimore.
Other than the Inner Harbor, there's not a lot of great parts.
I'm telling you right now, I do believe that I witnessed, and Paul Calvisi was there as well, three different illegal transactions that may have been happening.
I did a bunch
roadside.
Of bunch of college baseball trips because I just love the game. And one of the ones when I went to Camden Yards, I'll never forget a total Griswold moment. When we were kind of confused where we were going, and my friend said, stop the car, and I didn't know what he was doing, so I stopped the car, and he actually got out and asked directions.
Okay.
Yeah, that, I was scared.
You were scared of that? Like, what are you doing?
I almost left him.
Yeah.
I did.
But I can tell you right now, right? I mean, honestly, it's if you ever get in a tight spot and suddenly you find yourself, man, this could be dangerous for me, start talking like a pirate. Nobody, they'll think you're nuts and leave you alone. I'm telling you right now. You get into a hot spot. Ah, matey, my vertigo's be killing me of ass. They'll leave you alone because they'll think you're absolutely nuts. Just start talking like a pirate, kind of walking a little strange. They'll just leave you alone. I mean, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it?
Or they'll just shoot you and not talk anymore.
No, I honestly think it makes perfect sense. Avast, ye bilge-rot! My vertigo's me! I mean, just lose it and you'll be fine. There's a little tip from your Uncle Ron.
I don't think that tip will help.
If you're ever in a tight spot, just start talking like a pirate and they'll leave you alone. It's like, all right, that's enough of that. I mean, honestly. Let's get out of here. What else are we going to be talking about today other than Talk Like a Pirate Day, matey?
I'll let you know we do have a surprise for you.
Shiver me timbers! How about that? That's one you want to remember as well. And you can't say booty enough. Booty, as in loot, ladies and gentlemen.
That I was wondering.
Well, loot.
What you meant.
It's very plunder. Plunder. Taken loot. That's what the booty I'm talking about. Boy, that was just, that sounded bad. It's just not good. Are you going to say something, Doug?
No, I'll just let you keep going.
I would appreciate if you said something right now.
That's a first.
Your mother was a hamster, and your father smelt an elderberries, man.
It's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Rob Wolfley.
Good morning, Vince. Do you have any normalcy you can bring to the program?
Number five.
Number five this morning is Thursday night football, and the fact that you should pay attention to Jaguars-Titans at 5:20 tonight and question whether or not Jalen Ramsey is on the field. According to Adam Schefter, there is one team in the NFL that contacted the NFL front office and asked if Jalen Ramsey plays Thursday night, can he still play Sunday? And the NFL office said no.
I say this is a pile of hornswoggle.
Number Shefty. Four.
I didn't know you were going to do Shefty like a pirate. Number four, the latest on Cam Newton. Ron Rivera, could the decision go all the way up to game time?
Well, we'll see. Again, oh, okay. He's, you know, he's getting his treatment. He's doing everything he can. And, you know, he's always, you know, tried to get himself out there as quickly as possible and as healthy as possible.
Hi, matey. Cam Newton's barnacles be killing him.
Number three.
Don't worry, everyone. We only have two more minutes of this. Number three is Ketel Marte. Now, this is the media relations interpreter, and Ketel Marte says something a little interesting. Remember, they removed the grass this year.
It actually feels good to do it.
From Chase Field.
Actually, being something that has been bothering me for the past 2 months, the artificial turf took a toll on me, and, you know, I've just been dealing with it for the past couple of months, and then once I hit that, they hit that double and I scored running the bases, then that's when I was like, no more.
Ketel, the captain of the ship, be wanting a word.
Yeah, that, I believe him, and I believe the Diamondbacks didn't like it.
Number two!
Number two this morning, Kyler.
Hibachi!
Kyler on Kyle Allen. That's right. What is it going to be like if Allen actually starts the game?
I really don't care.
Oh.
That is, yeah, I really. If he starts, I mean, I don't. That is my answer to that one. I don't care.
The other one was better. The other one where he totally deadpan. I don't care. Next.
Number one.
So all of a sudden with Kyler, you don't talk like a pirate, but everybody else.
Well, yeah, that one got my attention.
I see. And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, with Jalen Ramsey available on the trade market, interesting timing for this.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville.
And is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. It's 6:15 in the morning, and this might be difficult for you to completely rearrange your schedule, but there's a couple things that you've got to stick around for today or try to come back and join us for. Number one, Ketel Marte saying it was the turf for 2 months that's made his back flare up. That's a topic for Derek Hall.
Wow.
So team president and CEO Derek Hall will join us at 8:45 this morning to talk about that. And then right when we're done talking to the D-backs president and CEO, Maloney got Michael Vick on today.
How about that?
Michael Vick going to join us at 9 o'clock.
Man.
FS1 NFL analyst to basically talk
what do you specifically see from Kyler? So we'll have Michael Vick on Kyler Murray. So that'll be Michael on Murray will be a pretty
big
conversation.
Fan of Michael Vick.
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk to him about that. Man, there were a lot of things on the list last night going into what we call show prep in the business of what would be the number one subject matter for today. And then all of that got immediately changed earlier this morning.
Hey, retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
When Alex Schefter came out with a tweet that was just, wow, really? Tweet number one that you need to know about is the Cardinals restructured linebacker Chandler Jones. He sent this out about 3 hours ago, freeing up $4 million against the cap per league sources. So you free up cap space. And then within the hour of sending out that tweet, he then says, at the beginning of the week, an NFL team reached out to the league office and asked whether Jalen Ramsey could play Sunday for their team if he plays Thursday for the Jaguars. Well, tonight it's Jaguars Titans. And I got to tell you, it feels...
You're weaving a web, Douglas.
I am, because whenever some guy tweets out things back to back about the same subject, I usually feel like the source is the same. And it's just kind of interesting of how, okay, your first tweet is about the Chandler Jones restructuring. Then your next tweet is about somebody contacting the league office conveniently right after the Jalen Ramsey said he plans on playing Thursday.
Yeah.
And then a little while ago, Adam Schefter went on ESPN television and gave us a little more details.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones yesterday, freed up about $4 million, which gives Arizona added flexibility. Some people wondering, does this mean they're in on Jalen Ramsey? They have contacted Jacksonville, but the Cardinals don't believe that they're a landing spot for Jalen Ramsey. There has been contact made. They do have additional room now that Chandler Jones has restructured that deal. And if they don't spend the money there, we'll see where they do spend it.
Okay, that's source code right there.
That's just...
When somebody says
they're irresponsible, almost.
When somebody says they don't believe they're in on him, that means Jacksonville wants too much. We're still talking.
I see. I can't. This is really, really interesting that Adam Schefter came out and actually said this, ladies and gentlemen, to the degree in which he did right there, right? Why would the Cardinals go ahead and actually say, yeah, we've talked to him already? Well, I don't know why. What? How does that benefit the Arizona Cardinals if, in fact, they let people know that they're talking to the Jacksonville Jaguars about Jalen Ramsey?
I think you're having a little bit of a battle going on between the Chiefs, the Cardinals, and maybe another team. I don't know. But I think there's also a little bit of Jacksonville talking about this, because in order for the Jacksonville Jaguars to get more from the Chiefs or the Cardinals, you're going to want to put out there who's on it. And if Schefter calls up a Steve Keim or somebody else in the organization and says, hey, I talked to Jacksonville, they said you've called. And Steve Keim says, you know what, well, you know, anytime there's a player out there that makes our team better, we'll talk to him, Adam. And then Adam says, that's not a denial. And Steve goes, okay, you're right,
yes,
it's not a denial.
Right, exactly.
That's
but
how
it's,
that works.
It's very interesting. First of all, you have to look at the situation with Jalen Ramsey, of course, one of the better corners in the National Football League, in particular man corners. One of the reasons why everyone's saying he's upset is because they're playing a lot more zone there, and he feels like they're not taking advantage of what he does well, which is press man cover, right? So Jalen Ramsey right now, it's feasible there's going to be a fire sale on Jalen Ramsey. Feasible because of Tom Coughlin. Tom Coughlin, of course, is the executive vice president of football operations for the Jacksonville Jaguars. As old school gets, Tom Coughlin. And I don't think he's probably changed that much. The fact that Jalen Ramsey showed up in an armored vehicle, of course, holding the entire organization hostage for the most part, that was the message that was sending them, right? That and the fact that he has had these explosions on the sideline. Do you think Tom Coughlin understands how damaging that can actually be to a football team as a head coach?
I think he does.
Oh, I think he's all over that right there. And it's the reason why I think there's going to be addition by subtraction.
And I also believe it's the number three thing. I mean, for Tom Coughlin, he's been probably put off by Jalen Ramsey ever since he showed up in the armored truck for training camp. You talk about one guy trying to give himself that much attention. We could argue for hours whether or not it's appropriate in today's day and age to draw that much attention to yourself away from the team. I mean, and I'm not blasting generations here, but people that are about 15 to 30 years old have no idea why this is such a problem. Get over it. It's marketing. It's blah, blah, blah. And anybody that's about over 30, you look at it and you say, this is an outrage. Don't you have a coach that yells at you anymore? Don't you have a team? Isn't it all about the, you know, things like that? So with Jalen Ramsey doing this, I think he was already on the crap list of Tom Coughlin. Then you double down now with a screaming match at a coach.
Yeah.
If it was just a screaming match at a coach, Tom Coughlin's going to say, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
He's not going to care.
Right.
But you have this pattern of Jalen Ramsey separating himself from team. I totally believe Tom Coughlin's interested in trading him.
I'm not trading Pat P for Jalen Ramsey, Basinonians. And the reason why I'm not doing that is because I think he is a diva. I don't know Ramsey is a diva. I feel like he's a diva. A diva is as diva does, right? I don't know why he would show up in an armored vehicle, but that sure looked like a diva mobile to me.
Absolutely.
And I think the diva thing should be a warning to us all as well, Douglas. Isn't that right, John Gruden? It should be a warning to us all, Mike Mayock.
But you know full well, everybody in the NFL that got to the position they're in got there because a positive, healthy ego that believes they can do things that nobody else thought they could do. And that usually manifests itself with a lot of coaches believing, I can handle this guy. I just don't think you have a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach and you say, let's bring in a Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
That I don't know if that's the time for that. However, I think the most important thing is to keep in mind the past tense that Adam Schefter spoke of.
Well, the Cardinals restructured the contract of Chandler Jones.
When you say restructured, what that means is you have decided to take a cap hit in future years to free up room today. Why do it unless there's a plan already in place?
Kind of like Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
When they did it with AP.
You would talk to Chandler Jones and say, hey, we're thinking about this. What do you think if you were in the beginning of a negotiation with Jacksonville? Why go into a negotiation with Jacksonville without the cap room? So you go to Chandler and you say, hey, we're interested in doing this. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. But you wouldn't really sign it. The only reason you would actually sign it is if something is imminent. Why would you take a cap hit in 2020 and or 2021 when Chandler Jones fits under the cap now in 2019? Unless you've got something done. I don't know why else you would do it.
For something else, right? It may be for something else.
There's I can throw out a name on that too. Taco
Charlton. Oh, Taco.
Taco Charlton was released by the Dallas Cowboys. Not as exciting. He's a first round pick that so far has been a bust in Dallas. And so I don't want to get anybody excited about it, but there is a cap number there if you claim him. You cannot claim him and then sign him as an unrestricted free agent, and then you have no cap number other than what you want to pay him. The catch there is he goes to the highest bidder. You use the waiver claim on him. He can't go anywhere else but the Cardinals.
Yeah.
But you have to take somewhat of the cap hit. Cowboys take more than you do, but then you do have to clear space. So it could be a move as simple as Taco, or it could be you're trading for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, listen, I want to go back to Jalen Ramsey, Basinonians, and the reason why I would not trade Pat P for Jalen Ramsey, right, because of the divaship thing going on right now. Antonio Brown has ruined it for every diva in the league, period. Divaship will never be the same because of AB. I said it at the time, and I believe it. I don't think Ramsey is an Antonio Brown diva, I don't think, but a diva nonetheless, and that should be addition by subtraction. And I think that's what Tom Coughlin is banking on. Unless you know something about the Jaguars and Jalen Ramsey and that situation that I don't, there's no way I'm making that trade.
Here's why I think you're wrong and you're not going to like it. I think the game has changed too much. I think when you see that Antonio Brown, a lot of NFL players believe Antonio Brown got his way. A lot of players believe Antonio Brown's gotten everything that he wants. I should say a lot. Some think he's gotten everything he wants. So therefore, they think they have that card. I think you're going to see more divas, and if you have too many of them, what's the NFL going to do? You have to sign divas because that's all that's left.
I disagree.
I hope not. I'm rooting for you to be right.
No, I disagree.
I just don't think you are.
I think Antonio Brown will prove it.
Coming up next, the latest on Cam Newton's status for Sunday. Will he play against the Cardinals? And more specifically, when will we know? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. There is a weird situation going on with Ron Rivera. And I understand you don't need the Cardinals to know everything. But Ron Rivera yesterday, in what we call a conference call in the business with Cardinals media.
Can you give us an update on your quarterback situation?
Nope.
Thank you for your honesty.
You'll get it on the report, okay?
All right, we'll get it on the report. That's the injury report. Missed practice yesterday. Missed practice on Wednesday. And here's the one that makes me laugh.
I mean, you pesky media, you're on a need-to-know basis.
There's two elements of this that make no sense. Number one, NFL, install an ISDN line. It's really not that hard. Number two, this is the one. There's nothing easier than this. You're not giving up anything. When somebody says, could this decision go all the way up until game time? Well, that's it. You're not helping the Cardinals. You're actually making it more difficult for the Cardinals if you say, well, yeah, it could go all the way up to game time. And yet he says,
well, we'll see.
Now, that is 100%. I didn't really listen to the question. I just heard, when are you going to know he's going to play? But the question is, will it go up to game time? There's no we'll see. Whether it's going to go up to game time.
Well, we'll see. Again, he's getting his treatment. He's doing everything he can. And, he's always, tried to get himself out there as quickly as possible and as healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Well, if it's going to go up to game time, then why let him know now?
That's what I mean. Just say, yes, it's going to go all the way up to game time. We won't know until game time whether he plays.
Don't even tell him that. Just keep the whole thing a complete mystery and have it shrouded in secrecy and have it be a stealth decision. Or maybe he knows that there's no chance Cam can play, and he's sort of kicking that can down the road until the final injury report on Friday.
See, that's what I'm wondering right there, Paulie. I really am. I think he probably knows that Cam Newton's not going to play, but at the same time, why provide any aid, comfort, or shelter? Why give anybody any added time to prepare for somebody other than Cam?
You're not getting time to prepare if he says, we don't know until game time. That means we're hoping that he starts, and then we'll find out that Sunday whether or not he actually starts. Jordan Hicks isn't buying any of it.
We'll see what happens, man. I don't want to speculate, but I don't know. I think we're preparing for Cam. I think Cam's going to play, personally. He's a competitor. He plays hard. He plays hurt, so who's to say he's not going to do it again?
Smart way to go.
I was standing there in front of Jordan Hicks' locker there, and I thought I saw a thought bubble that said, Cam, please play.
Cam,
please bring your 31st ranking and passer efficiency rating to the AZ.
Oh, Cam.
Please, Cam, get out there and miss 15 open receivers like you did against the Bucs.
Cam!
I think I saw that thought bubble over the head of Jordan Hicks. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure, but I believe
Cam!
That's what the Cards defense is saying right now. Bring Cam Newton out there, especially with a sprained foot. He can't run. He's tried 5 rushing attempts this year. He's fumbled twice. So, you know what I mean? Just let him play,
Paulie,
at this point.
You know it as well as I do. Cam Newton is an alien.
I mean, honestly,
he is an alien. You stood next.
Oh, I know what it's like.
You know what it's like.
Can I tell you something?
To stand next to Cam Newton.
This is my opinion. The NFC Championship game in Carolina, you're about 90 minutes before kickoff, and the two teams are on the respective sides of the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
Cam Newton comes out. He's got his game pants on. It's like 30-something degrees.
Right.
And he's got, a tank top of some sort, his undershirt on, his Under Armour, and he comes walking right through the Cardinals' side of the field. He's strutting. He's just walking. Who wants some? This is my field. And he walks right through the Cardinals' drills all the way to the goalpost.
Yes.
And at that point, he was asserting himself as the alpha male on that field, and then Carolina went out and played like it.
Once again, I don't believe in aliens, Basinonians. I don't. UFOs, yes, of course. Aliens, no. I don't believe in aliens. But if, in fact, aliens do exist and are among us, as a lot of people believe, Cam Newton is the best evidence for that. You go ahead and you stand next to Cam Newton right now, and you're going to feel some deficiencies. I'm just saying.
Well, then
he's not like you and I. He's not.
Well, then clearly aliens get old.
Oh, he's not old yet.
Wait, not look, old I'm not. Yet. I'm talking about body years, not about what his birth certificate says.
No.
I mean, look at the man move.
Yeah, he's high
not moving well at all. I feel terrible for him.
He's high mileage.
He's not throwing well.
He's
not,
got a bad shoulder as well.
Okay.
You try to throw from the ground up. That's how you throw as a quarterback.
The point is, the Cardinals' chances of winning increase with Cam Newton playing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, again, if he's healthy,
not healthy.
Okay, yeah, but
he's not good right now.
I honestly think I'll take Kyle Allen. Yeah, I'll take Kyle
Allen. He's not one of the top.
Kyle Allen.
He's not one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Kyle Allen hasn't proven anything. I'll take Kyle Allen as a matter of fact right now. If in fact that's the case, no offense to Kyle. Again, a local boy. We love you, Kyle. There's no doubt about that. But I'll take Kyle Allen.
What do you mean you'll take Kyle Allen?
Starting.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
You mean as a Cardinals fan?
No, as an analyst, I'm going to take Kyle Allen over Cam Newton any day. Tell me Kyle Allen's going to start, I'll take Kyle Allen.
I mean, anybody making their second career start, okay, I could see that.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
But if Cam can't hit an open receiver, which is the point, which is the problem right now, and he can't run the ball, he truly is one-dimensional, he really is a pocket quarterback. I mean, Cam is a fraction of what he used to be.
To what degree he's hurt? It's always that, but it's to what degree he's actually hurt.
I think he's also mentally hurt. I mean, this is not a guy that's focused on winning football right now. He's got a lot going on, and it's just he's not the same guy.
You're just saying that because of the scarf.
Well, the scarf doesn't
just
help
saying
it.
That.
Well, the only time he looks good is walking into the stadium. Those pregame fashion videos that the Panthers Twitter account shoots and edits up like it's some sort of Vogue, catwalk.
I will admit,
he's some sort of model.
The scarf is compelling evidence that there might be something going on with Cap. I will admit that.
If I was the offensive coordinator of Auburn, if I was the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, I would have done the exact same things they did with Cam. The man played in a Super Bowl. He's got an MVP. He's earned everything he's received on a football field. He's one of the better quarterbacks to have played in the last decade. It doesn't change the fact he's the shell of what he used to be. He's not a winning quarterback right now. Of course I believe that will change when he gets healthy. But I don't believe he's going to get healthy.
I'll still take Kyle Allen over Cam Newton.
If you take the last six or 7 years, just the way he's been hit and hit again and hasn't been flagged up with nearly the same frequency as, say, a Tom Brady,
because
he is such a physical freak that you see him, it's Cam, he can take a hit like that, whereas virtually every other quarterback gets different treatment by the officials.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's taken
really
its toll.
Yeah,
it's been cumulative.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Paulie. I think you're right about that, right? But it doesn't matter how big you are. See, this is the whole thing about Kyler Murray. Everyone thought, why do you keep talking about Kyler Murray and his durability, right? Look, it really had nothing to do with his size. It had everything to do with the sample size of Kyler Murray, which was 1 year in the Big 12. And we all know they don't play defense in the Big 12.
Speaking of Kyler Murray, does anybody want to feel old for a second?
I've never met Cam. I've always watched him. Love watching him. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks, growing up. So look forward to it.
We're at the point in life where a starting quarterback in the NFL says, quote, Cam Newton was one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up.
Yes.
What?
Wow.
Well, there's another reason, though, that it might be better for the Cardinals to have Kyle Allen start, because Kyler Murray might have a little bit more of an edge. If Cam Newton's out there, Kyler might be in awe. But if Kyle Allen is out there, then
we know about Kyle Allen if he potentially starts this week.
I really don't care.
Wait for it.
No, just kidding.
It was so great.
Right.
That was a buzz.
A little something extra there, maybe, if Kyle Allen is the quarterback for Carolina.
Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast brought to you this week by Kinetico. Coming up next, what does Ron Rivera think of Cliff Kingsbury and his offense? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Good morning, Basinonians. Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley, the Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning, of course, and we mean savage.
Wolf and I were watching MLB Network, and they were just showing everything that went on at Fenway Park in the last couple days.
Yes.
Carl Yastrzemski throwing out the first pitch to his giant grandson, as Mike Yastrzemski was playing in his first games at Fenway Park. And earlier in the game, a couple games ago, Yastrzemski went yard, and the Boston fans gave him a standing ovation. So that's the opposing player they're cheering for.
That's incredible.
And then last night, Bruce Bochy won the 2,000th game of his managerial career.
Wow.
And the Boston fans gave him a standing ovation. And my quick story that I'll never forget, on my honeymoon, I don't say, I said mine as if Jennifer wasn't there.
Right.
But on our honeymoon, Jennifer sang the national anthem at Fenway Park. And I'll never forget, we get done, we as if I'm a part of this now, she gets done singing, we walk up the steps, and this extremely old man, I swear he fought in the Revolutionary War in Boston, maybe Bunker Hill, this extremely old man in the third row stands up and scolds this poor intern who's walking us up to our seats and says, "Excuse me, she was outstanding, why are you making her sit up there? Sit here." And this really old guy wanted to get up and give us his seats on the third row. I said, no, sir. That was really nice. No, right, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
But that's the kind of people that, even though Boston is mean outside of Fenway, in Fenway, you do anything that's a tributation to the game, whatever tributation means, then they're all positive. It's amazing.
You know what's so weird about it, too? Like, you think of Boston and Philadelphia. And yet they're close in proximity, right, for the most part. And yet at the same time, it's just two different fan bases completely.
You mean close just because they're both East Coast?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, I don't mean like Philly and New York.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just talking about close in proximity in the Northeast, right? And yet they're two completely dichotomous fan bases.
There's a lot of truth to that. Speaking of East Coast, the Carolina Panthers are actually coming out tomorrow. They're leaving early to get out here, and they've shifted their entire week. They were on Thursday Night Football against Tampa Bay last week, so they went to practice on Friday, took off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then started their regular work week to try to cram everything in before Friday and then get out here Friday night. So Ron Rivera did the press conference in which you're actually talking to Cardinals media yesterday, and he talked about a bunch of different things, but his focus was Cardinals offense because he's a defensive guy, and I think we're going to be hearing this a lot until you see Kyler Murray fall on his face. That everybody wants to compliment Kyler Murray, especially opposing coaches.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, I think he's a very football-savvy football player. I think he understands the game very well. You can tell by some of the decisions he makes. I think he's got a terrific arm. I really do. I think the young man's going to grow into being one of the really, really, really good ones in this league. It's just a matter of time, a matter of experience. But he most certainly has shown that he most certainly was deserved of being the top pick.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Kyler Murray right now, the stuff he is doing, the stuff I have seen on tape as well with Kyler Murray, you could not have two, I guess you could have a better start. I guess you could go out and actually have two games where you won those games, right? But I'm looking at Kyler Murray and the fact that he righted the ship in the first game against Detroit looked so bad. Again, for three quarters, and then right at the ship. I cannot tell you how difficult that is to do, Basinonians, let alone the first game, the first regular season game you're ever going to play in the National Football League. That's what he did. Righted the ship and played his best when it mattered most, and allowed his team, brought his team back to a point where they tied the game. I'm telling you right now, that's really important. It's really important because the veterans in the locker room look around and go, oh, man, maybe there is something different about this kid. Because they know how difficult that is as well, to be playing so poorly and then suddenly light it up. And then against Baltimore on the road. We've talked all about this, but right now, Kyler Murray, you could have better starts from a rookie quarterback. There's no doubt about it. You could win those games. But right now, Kyler Murray is not the problem. It's like Kurt said. Kurt said it best, did he not? They've been in these games because of Kyler Murray, because of him. That pretty much says it all right there. Kyler Murray is playing at a very high level, and people are noticing league-wide.
The other thing Ron Rivera talked about, which was pretty cool, to use the word majestic. It's one word that we have not used to describe possibly the second greatest receiver of all time. And the question is simply what it does when Larry makes a play at home. Like, if you're Ron Rivera, what does it do to you as the opposing coach if Larry Fitzgerald makes a play at home? And at first he goes, hey, everybody can make great plays and get the crowd fired up, but...
Yeah, I don't know if I
wrong button. That was Cliff. Here it is.
I think any player can really do that. They make a great play, but... You know, when a guy like Larry Fitzgerald makes the play and rises up the way he does, there's almost something majestic about it that everybody goes, all right, our guy's coming through. Let's go. I mean, that's pretty special. And I know you're talking about what happened in the Detroit game. I mean, that to me is that's what guys like Larry do. You know, when they make plays, people respond, and so it doesn't surprise me.
What is amazing about this right now, unless I'm mistaken, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Fitzgerald has 6 big plays. A big play in the National Football League is 20 yards or more. That's what they consider to be a big play, right? He's got 6 big plays through 2 games. I don't know. I'm just saying that to me is incredible, especially based on what we saw last year. He's got 6 big plays. And what's really incredible, he's got, I believe, 3 of them are over 40 yards or more. Maybe even 4, if I'm not mistaken. 40 yards or more. That is a big, big play in the NFL. And he's making those plays. I think a lot of it, too, one of the reasons why, is people, they're just not respecting that part of it anymore with Larry Fitzgerald. Everyone's, okay, he's a short, the intermediate route. He's a grandmaster guru sensei of running those routes. You got to look for the short and intermediate route. And now all of a sudden he's beating you over the top because nobody's given him that kind of credence.
How much more would that open it up for everybody else once they start worrying about him over the top? NBA 2K20 is out now. Year after year, this proves to be the best NBA video game of all time. And we're giving you the chance to win a copy on either PlayStation 4 or Xbox One. You choose what you want. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter.
5-star games. 5-star games. Oh, 5-star games. 5-star games. College football's best game with Doug and Wolf.
I do this begrudgingly. I don't really believe Michigan at Wisconsin is a 5-star game because the rankings say they're both in the top 15. But Michigan has played Army and Middle Tennessee. Wisconsin has played Central Michigan and USF. I think this is the standard Big Ten trumping out teams. Everybody wants to believe the Big Ten has talent, and then the Big Ten falls on its face later on when it comes time for college football playoffs. But for right now, it is important to watch and so you can make fun of it later. The two real 5-star games. Auburn at Texas A&M at 12:30 on CBS. Auburn's already had a huge game against Oregon. Texas A&M already had a huge game against Clemson. And then at 5 o'clock, Notre Dame at Georgia. This one is enormous. A couple years ago, Georgia wins by a point at Notre Dame. And the argument last year, who should get into the playoff, Notre Dame or Georgia?
Yeah.
Do you think Georgia feels a little irritable about it? And so you know the way television contracts work? Only one weekend a year in the CBS-SEC contract does CBS get a doubleheader. Every year they choose Alabama-LSU as the doubleheader. This year, they chose Notre Dame-Georgia. They think that this game is that big.
Okay, you're not going with West Virginia at Kansas?
I am not.
As a 5-star
game?
No,
I am not. I am not.
5-star game with Doug and Wolf.
We hammered NC State, baby. Hammered up. Isn't that right, Neil Brown?
By the way, I think the stat, just so you know what you're up against, last week against Boston College, Kansas won its first road game of the century against a Power 5 team.
Wow. Boston College.
And it was Boston College is considered Power 5.
You know, I was there for 4 years at West, by God, Virginia, ladies and gentlemen. Boston College, we played Boston College and Doug Flutie 4 consecutive years in a row. Never beat us. Won the Heisman and lost. How's that taste, Doug? Flutie, of course.
It doesn't matter. They'll cut out the Flutie, and I'll have
and every
to hear
time
that
I
for
see
years.
Flutie, I remind him of it, Basinonians. Every time I see Flutie.
How often do you see Doug Flutie?
I've seen him twice. Twice since I actually retired. 1996. Doug Flutie.
Wait a minute. Every time I see him, I've seen him twice in 30 years.
Hey, the third time looms, does it not, my friends? Of course it does. Seen him twice. I mean, what are the odds I run into him twice? Think about that, especially with the dark days.
I totally accept the fact that you've only run into him twice. It's the funny that every time I see him, like you're running around in the same circles or you're at parties together. Every time I see him, how much have you seen him twice?
I think twice is pretty significant.
I think I see my mother-in-law twice.
There's a trend there. One's a point, two's a trend, three's a pattern.
So then there's going to be a pattern of Doug Flutie in your life?
There's a trend.
Coming up next, what would it take for the Cardinals to pull off a trade for Jalen Ramsey? Secondly, do you want him? That's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.